From the book, Benevolent Magic and Living Prayer, Ancient Secrets of Feminine Science. Reveals the Mysteries through Robert Shapiro, Light Technology Publishing, 2005. Introduction. Benevolent magic can only be used benevolently, even if it is accidentally, or otherwise, said in some way that isn't benevolent. It will still only work as long as the experience for everyone is benevolent, including those who cooperate consciously or otherwise with bringing about your request. Benevolent magic is a request, not just words. Many of you will feel energy after you say the request. The fundamentals of benevolent magic are what you say and how you say it. Benevolent magic is provided by loving beings to help allow you and train you as a global community to begin doing things that will support each and every one of you. 1. Benevolent magic and living prayer, use feminine science to change your world. Reveals the mysteries. November 21, 2004, is a system designed to go beyond what you now know as prayer. Prayer is a system because it clearly defines what you want and need for yourself, your family, your friends, your community, the world. And it does so in a structured way that allows you to feel connected to Creator, whoever or whatever that named identity for Creator in your religion or philosophy is. Benevolent magic is a little different. It doesn't replace any of that prayer that you now do, continue to do that as you like. But it supports that. Benevolent magic is separate in that it works directly with Creator, angels and benevolent beings, and the benevolent portion of the souls of all beings on earth and everywhere. It can only be used benevolently, even if it is accidentally, or otherwise, said in some way that isn't benevolent. It will still only work as long as the experience for everyone is benevolent, including those who cooperate consciously or otherwise with bringing about your request. That's the whole point. Benevolent magic allows a sense of union with all beings. Benevolent magic is a request, not just words. Many of you will feel energy after you say the request. Sit with the energy if you can or feel the energy, not necessarily if you're operating an automobile, but let the energy be there if it possibly can be. It will fade or lessen, to a degree, in most cases. Now, many times you won't feel any energy. Then just go on after you complete it. Benevolent magic is provided by loving beings to help allow you and train you as a global community to begin doing things that will support each and every one of you. I know that you all want a cooperative, benevolent global community where everybody has what they need and everybody has the opportunity to have what they want. Benevolent magic is intended, then, to allow you to cooperate in some way with other people who ask for something that cooperation on your part might help to provide, even though you won't know who they are or what they ask, maybe they're on the other side of the world. Your cooperation might be some tiny little thing that you will do unconsciously. It doesn't have control or power over you. It might just mean that instead of scratching your head, you scratch your arm. It might be something silly like that, which may seem to be totally trivial and inconsequential, but that could have some subtle effect. I am trying to suggest, then, that it would not be something that commands or overtakes your life, but it will allow you to make some trivial change in your life that will not harm you in any way. The reason benevolent magic works is that all souls, all beings, who cooperate to help bring about in some way a benevolent result, also known as a benevolent outcome for your benevolent magic that you say and request, must be doing only something, if it's something different that they do at all, that is completely benevolent for them. So no one suffers in any way, things just shift and change gently, so this is training for you. I know that many of you have tried to find a philosophy, a governmental system, a way of thinking, a way of feeling, all kinds of different things, that everyone can feel good about and that will work for everyone. This system of benevolent magic may not be a government system, it may not be a religion. But it may have some aspects that suggest that it is a portion of some philosophy, perhaps, or that it can fit into a great many philosophies. It is not intended to replace the family system, friends or relationships. This is not intended to replace medical science or anything like that. but it is intended to allow you to have a means by which you can cooperate with all other beings in a way that's totally benevolent for you. And just on that alone, it is a good system that will begin, gently, to allow you to have a sense of union with all beings. The fundamentals of benevolent magic. The fundamentals of benevolent magic are what you say and how you say it. I will now give an example of benevolent magic. You might say, I request that I experience a most benevolent interview for my new job, and that job will bring about a most benevolent outcome for me. That would be an example of a benevolent magic statement. You can tell, just by that statement, that it really sounds like something you might reasonably say to anyone. It might even be incorporated in a prayer or a request that you've made at other times. But it will have effects, and they will all be only benevolent. I know I'm saying the word benevolent a lot, but I'm trying to underscore this because the word magic is in the title, and many of you have all kinds of ideas about what magic is. Magic, granted, appears to have something to do with that man or woman on the stage, or a youngster perhaps, who magically pulls something out of a hat, and you have no idea how that got in there. Or that person pours a glass of milk into the hat and then taps the hat and apparently, where'd the milk go? So that seems to be magic as well. Then you've heard of magic that is kind of frightening and scary, and then also magic that compensates for that, which is gentle and loving and makes everything fine. So the term benevolent magic is the factor here. That's why I'm explaining this a bit. The function of benevolent magic does not really work very well unless you say it. It is not something that you say only for powerful and important moments in your life, such as the new job. You can also say it for the simplest little things, meaning, say you're going to go to have a hair appointment, get your hair done or maybe just get a haircut. So you might say, I request that my appointment at the hair salon, or at the barber, go completely benevolently for me today, including a wonderful parking spot right out in front, and that this result in the most benevolent outcome for me. Benevolent outcomes that involve others. Now, there will be times when you will say something where the request for the benevolent outcome might involve other people. For instance, you might say, I request that my family outing today with everybody go well and smoothly for me, and that I experience at this outing great benevolence and happiness, and that this result in a most benevolent outcome. In this case, at the end we don't say for me, because it's something you're doing with others, in this case, others whom you care about. In that case, unless you get a strong feeling at the end, by strong I mean something that you really feel uncomfortable about and you find that if you say for me, that works better, then good. But if you don't get that feeling, then just say benevolent outcome, period, because it involves others directly. P7, for those of you who have an office or a business, you might say something similar, that new project we're starting today, for instance, like that. Say, I request that our new project at the office that we're beginning today go well and smoothly for me, and that all of the aspects of it fit very benevolently into place, and that this result in a most benevolent outcome, period. There are lots of other people at the office, and perhaps the project will result in some product that you hope will go out and serve the greater community and support your office and your business to produce other good products. So say, the most benevolent outcome, period, because other people are involved. That's not a hard and fast rule. But I'm telling it to you like that because many of you who are reading this book have not had a great deal of experience with things like this. So I'm suggesting this as a working rule. That is my suggestion along those lines. Try to say it out loud. Now, there are other situations with benevolent magic when benevolent magic requires from you a moment to pause, meaning that you are doing something. Perhaps you're at work and you really need to do something. You feel the urgent need to say benevolent magic about something. If you're in the middle of something, you can say it under your breath, so to speak. But try to say it at least out loud. Whispering is out loud, because this is a change you want to affect your physical world for you. Therefore, for your body to know and understand that this is physical, and your body is deeply involved in the creation of your physical world and experience. It needs to be physicalized, thinking it may not work very well. In most cases, it won't work at all, but in some cases, it might work a little bit. So try to at least whisper it. You can whisper it softly, but that's what I recommend. Say benevolent magic for yourself, say a living prayer for others. I know you want the world to be a better place and everybody to be happy and get along cooperatively. But we do not say benevolent magic directly for others, and I'll tell you why. Benevolent magic is very influential, and it doesn't require a lot from people, most of whom you don't know and will never meet, maybe just a tiny little gesture or a little move, a little something different than they would have done that is perfectly all right with them to do that way. This is something insignificant for most people. But in the case of benevolent magic, eventually it is quite a significant outcome for you. So we don't say benevolent magic for others because we have to allow them to choose to say it for themselves. However, there is something we can say for others, and this is something that will sound very similar to things you have already done. I will touch on that in this book. Although this book is primarily geared toward benevolent magic, I want to touch a little bit on living prayer. Living prayer is the form of benevolent magic that you can say when you really feel the need, or even if you gently feel the need, to say something for someone else specifically, even if that person wouldn't think to say it for himself, wouldn't want to say it for himself or, as is much say you hear about something on the news, this comes up a lot. You are watching a news program and they say somewhere on the other side of the world that there's been a terrible earthquake and they don't know what's happening, but they'll give you more updates and so on. They mention the name of the location where it is, and you want to do something and you would be happy to make a contribution of some sort, but the news people don't even know what it is and you feel frustrated and upset because you want to do something immediately to serve that. That's where living prayer comes in. I will give you an example, and I will mention the name of a country where you have heard of earthquakes before. Of course, you have them right here in the United States, but there are other countries that have earthquakes, sometimes even more often than you have them, so I will use another country as an example. You might say a living prayer because you're saying something for others who don't know about it, who don't know how to say it, who might not think to say it or who might be in a dire emergency where someone will have to say something else for them because they are in desperate straits, possibly in pain, and all they can say, if they can say anything at all, is to just beg for help. And if they're doing that, you can help to bring it about. This is what you might say. I will give you an example directly. You might say, don't say, I request, I am asking that all the people in Japan, and you mention the name of the place if you know it. If you don't know the name of the place, meaning specifically, then just say the name of the country, you'll remember that. Then say, who are suffering and need help. You don't necessarily have to say who are suffering, but I'm mentioning it in this case. Receive all the help and support and love that they need from all those beings who can help them. Now, there's a reason I say beings. You might say, well, why don't you just say people? Well, because there are times when it won't just be human beings. You've all seen on the news where dogs go in and try to find people in an earthquake. You've also had in your thoughts and imaginations that maybe somebody is in pain and human beings won't be able to get that person out in time and maybe it would comfort her to have angels and spirits and Creator and God to come to her. Even though you know and believe that God and the angels will come anyway, this is a way you can speak for that person. It will help you to feel better because you are doing something, and it will also, if people can be rescued, which very often they can, support and nurture and encourage that support to come to those people as quickly as possible. With living prayer, the outcome will be benevolent. You might say, well, how does this differ from any prayer I might say to ask God to help those people now? It differs because, specifically, it is the form of benevolent magic that you can say for others, and the level of cooperation will be exactly the same, and the outcome will be benevolent, just like with benevolent magic, but it works for others. Granted, the words might sound very simple, very simplistic, but you will find that you yourself will feel better. You won't take on the pain and suffering from others, be frustrated from not being able to do anything in the moment about the situation. And it might very well be supporting that aid, comfort and love come to that person from all those beings, man, woman, child, boy, girl, dog, animal, who knows, who can help him or her. Now, there are many advantages to saying this. Think about it, how many times have you had a friend, a relative, a loved one, even an acquaintance or maybe someone you've heard about whom you feel good about, maybe that person is in the hospital not feeling good, you've said your prayers for her. This is not meant to eliminate your prayers, but you also say your living prayer for her. You say, and I will pick a name at random, I am asking that Millie's experience in the hospital be completely benevolent for her, and that her operation, say the name of that, be successful, and that she be able to return home, for instance, or return to work, whatever fits in, as quickly and as comfortably as possible. If you feel a little warmth or a little energy that feels good, then just sit there for a moment and let that be there. And after a while, maybe in the case of saying it at bedtime, you might fall asleep. That's okay. In the case of saying it under your breath or at work, the energy will come and then it will go. The energy has a lot to do with bringing about the benevolent results. The energy is literally the creator. I'm making a triangle here with the fingers and the thumbs. The energy is the feeling of the creator interacting with your soul and the souls of all beings. Three things to bring this about in the most speedy, loving and benevolent way as much as possible. So, you see, this is a system that will look for potential assistance you can give this way for others. Ask for what you want. You must ask for what you want, not for what you don't want. Your body is involved in creation with Creator and all beings. Your body does not uncreate things. Your body might change the form of things, and physics will tell you that mass cannot be obliterated, it just changes form. So your body is constantly involved, working with Creator and angels and all kinds of beings like that and other people, of course, to create. So sometimes when you ask, and many of you have said this, oh, I just don't want to experience that anymore. Just please, never again. Your body doesn't hear that as uncreation. Your body will probably hear that as, that experience was not good for me, and I don't want to experience it that way ever again. But your body will also hear that as, the experience is desired, but in a different way. See, if you know this, then this is a big clue for you to know how creation works on Earth and, to a degree, in other places. Please don't ask for what you don't want. Always ask for what you do want, because your body knows exactly how to do its part, as do the bodies of all other souls know how to do their part, consciously or unconsciously, to bring about and to create. Resolution is a form of creation. You are called in these many books by this channel members of the Explorer race, and the Explorer race is not a group of light-skinned people or dark-skinned people. The Explorer race is all human beings on Earth. As members of the Explorer race, you are here to learn many things. One of the things you are here to learn is to be able to create benevolently and also how to resolve things, even things that were not of your making, so that resolution will be possible. Someday you will go out to the stars, as you see now, ships are going out, space stations, space capsules, men on the moon, all that. Someday you'll go out and meet people from other planets. Many times they will share things with you that you will be thrilled to know. Other times you will share things with them because you on Earth will be experts on how to resolve things that other people don't know how to resolve. Granted, those beings might have tremendously advanced technology. They might have very integrated and benevolent spirituality. But sometimes they will have conundrums, things they just can't fix as a society. You will be able to offer suggestions, sometimes they will seem to be very obvious to you. But the societies, although they cannot use your actual suggestions, will be inspired from your desire to create resolution, to fix something, and they will be able to get ideas and inspirations on their own. This is one of the great gifts you will offer when you travel out into space. It is because of this that your bodies are set up by Creator to always be involved in creation. Resolution is a form of creation, and you all have to resolve things almost all the time. When you are a child, you have to figure out how shoelaces work, not an easy task for a youngster. As you grow up and get older, you have to figure out how the car goes this way and that way when you drive, or how you work the computer, or how you fix up something that somebody else seems to have left only partly done. In short, you're constantly involved with resolution. Resolution is a form of creation. Your physical body is set up to do that, it's not set up to not do something. So if you know how the system works, you can work in the system a lot better. Always ask for what you want, not for what you don't want. It's important to say what you mean. This is also important in living prayer, when you are asking for things for other people. Remember, it will feel stilted sometimes. You might be stuck for words. If you find that you've said benevolent magic or living prayer and you've stumbled over the words, and this will often happen, even for experts at this, stop, wait a few minutes and start over and say it again. It's important to say it the way you want to say it all the way through without stumbling over the words any more than you can help. For some of you, you might occasionally stumble over words more than others. Just say it as best you can. But for everybody else, if you don't usually stumble over words that much, then go back, just stop. If you stop right in the middle of the living prayer, wait a few minutes and then say it over again, it'll be just fine. If you go to the end and you realize you've stumbled over words and said something you didn't want to say or maybe it wasn't the best way to say it, then wait a few minutes and say it over again the way you want to say it. The reason I am being very specific here is that you might find that you accidentally say something because of a lifetime of conditioning that you've had just being a human being in your culture and in your family. You might accidentally say a living prayer where you say something that you don't want, meaning, don't let that building collapse on those people in that earthquake. Uh-oh, wait a minute. You need to say it differently. Using that example, you might say, I am asking that the people inside that building that has suffered damage be safe until they can be rescued, and that the building be strong and stay strong and stable until everyone who can be rescued is out and everybody is safe in the most benevolent way it can be. See, that's what you're asking for, something that can be. You have to change it. You don't say, don't let the building fall down, because your bodies won't know how to do that. Nor will the bodies of others in this cooperative system. But you can say, that the building be strong, stable and firm until everyone's been rescued. You can often say, protect me from something. How many times have you had to go someplace or do something where you might wish to feel protected, feel secure, feel safer than you normally do? In this case, you might say the benevolent magic version of that, where you might say, I request that my trip to this job interview, then say the name of the company and so on, be completely safe for me to get there, that I feel safe and am safe while I'm there, and that my return also be that way in the most benevolent way for me, and that this result in the most benevolent outcome for me, like that. So in the case of a living prayer to be safe, you might say, I am asking that my trip to this place, for this job interview, be completely safe, and that I be protected and enjoyed the trip as well, and that the interview go well, and that my return trip also be completely safe for me, period. You can ask for a round trip like that. I generally recommend, however, that you say a living prayer or benevolent magic one way, and then on the way back, you say it again, but you don't have to. Living prayer for yourself and others. You don't just say living prayers for others. Sometimes you can say them for yourself. You do say them for others as in my examples, but you can also say living prayers for yourself. And sometimes you can say a living prayer for yourself and others, see? But you always and only say benevolent magic for yourself, even though sometimes it might include others. I've told you how to do that. Now, I want to give you an example where you might say a living prayer that involves yourself and others. Say you're in the earthquake zone and things are not quite right. Then you might say, I am asking that I be completely safe as I move from this earthquake zone to some safer place, and that others around me are also safe and will be rescued benevolently for them as well. Say something like that, so it's more flexible, you see? Say there is a big storm coming, the weatherman on TV is predicting it. Then you might reasonably ask, I am asking that I be completely safe in this storm, and that my family and community be safe as well. Benevolent magic must be benevolent for everyone. Benevolent magic will not work unless it is benevolent for everyone. I want to be crystal clear with what I mean by that. Say you are asking for benevolent magic for some purpose for yourself that might even be good for others for all you know, or maybe you do know that it would be. In this case, as it is with living prayer, I might add, it is not possible for it to work at all unless everyone experiences benevolence. This means that whatever little thing they might have to do to cooperate, little things, big things, everything feels fine to everyone. In some cases, people might do a big thing, but it doesn't make any difference to them. They could do it this way or that way. Instead of doing it that way, they end up doing it this way, and it's perfectly fine, it works for them. Maybe it'll be a big thing for you, maybe not. In any event, that's how it works. It cannot work any other way unless it feels fine to everyone. To all souls, all beings, it has to feel fine. If it doesn't feel fine, it simply won't work. That's all. But there's not resentment that lasts forever. Devas, deities, beings do not resent and distrust human beings. If anything, they decide that human beings, or those human beings in that place who are trying to do these things or cause them to do something, are just not ready to act benevolently for themselves and others at this time, and they step back. Those beings take a big step back, and they wait and let you work things out on your own, sometimes not very nicely. So they just do not cooperate with anything other than benevolence. Benevolent magic can be very freeing. This can literally liberate people all over the world by saying these words and then going on with their lives. You do not say benevolent magic or living prayer instead of doing things. You say benevolent magic and living prayer, and then you go ahead, continuing to strive toward what you are doing. If you're asking for a parking space in front of your beauty parlor, you don't say benevolent magic and living prayer, and then just stop and sit there in the middle of the street. You continue to drive up the street until you find, perhaps, a good parking space. It may not be right in front of the beauty parlor, but it'll be as close as possible. Perhaps someone will drive out just as you're pulling up and you'll get a space that's better than you might have expected, so that's good. I'm not guaranteeing that. It's a request. It will or maybe won't happen, but it will happen in the best possible way. The most benevolent way will occur, most of the time, in some way, it'll be influencing things. If it doesn't happen, there might be another reason. Maybe, in this example, because you had to go an extra block for a parking space, you actually wind up parking in front of some place, and when you get out of your car, you see an old friend. Or perhaps you happen to walk by a shop when you're on your way back to the beauty parlor and you say, wow, there's something I always needed, something like that. You have to realize that the most benevolent outcome may not always be whatever thought you have that seems to be the best thing. Benevolent magic can be very freeing for people, and it can be used by people even in desperate situations. Say you are a soldier in a war. If you're thinking, my unit's going out today, I'm really, really worried, you can say, I request that our mission today be completely safe, that we are able to accomplish our mission in the most benevolent way, and that this have the most benevolent outcome. You don't say for me. In that case, it involves your unit and other people. Just say, the most benevolent outcome, period. Now I will tell you how that could turn out. This could change the mission. Perhaps they say, take this stuff, go down the road and take it to those people who need it. So you drive down the road and you bring supplies. Normally you meet people on the way who are shooting at you, And normally you shoot back and people get killed, hurt, maimed, whatever.